For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Massini. My guest today is Shan Ray, poet, short story writer, and novelist who grew up in Montana and Alaska and spent part of his childhood on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. He's the author of 7 books, including most recently a short story collection, Blood, Fire, Vapor, Smoke, and a poetry collection, Sweet Clover, both of which were published this year. A National Endowment for the Arts Fellow and winner of the American Book Award and the High Plains Book Award, Shan Ray is also a clinical psychologist specializing in the psychology of men, and he teaches leadership and forgiveness studies at Gonzaga University here in Spokane. Shan Ray, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here.
So 2 books in 1 year, and teaching and being a parent and all those other things, you must be busy.
Books are always really misleading, you know. So I think anybody that's a working writer, working poet, sort of readily understands that one book might be 10 years, another book might be 3 years, and you never quite know when they're going to come out, mm-hmm. you know. So these 2 books this year are totally different as far as time spectrum. So Blood, Fire, Vapor, Smoke, I knew it's about the least accessible book that somebody can buy today. So I wasn't sure that I would even try to get it published. I thought I would want to get it published because it does a lot of what I'm hoping for as an artist. It looks at violence inside the masculine and the nature of how the feminine heals the masculine and how the masculine heals the feminine, but it looks at it very obliquely and creates a type of vacuum in which ultimate forgiveness can speak to ultimate violence. So I just, you know, sort of got it back out. But these stories span probably 15 years or something.
And I wanted to talk about, we can start with the short story collection and then talk later about the poetry collection. You mentioned it, you wrote the stories over a long period of time, and they're also really wide-ranging in scope and particularly in time and setting. So there's stories from the 19th century American West and 21st century Libya and Pac-12 college basketball.
Yeah.
So can you talk about writing in so many distinct places? And you alluded to it a little bit, what you see as the unifying element in this book?
I think I've also been interested in the dynamic of what can, should, or must writers do? You know, what are writers responsible for? And the great theologian from Germany, 1920s, who was tremendous in discernment in that liminal phase between World War I and World War II. He died before Hitler came to power, but he predicted the onslaught of a Hitler-esque notion in the world. His name was Rudolf Otto, and he talked a lot about this idea of the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, which is this Latin terminology for the things that are beyond us, and that we all feel a sense of what he called creature dread when we're struck by something like, for example, America's painful handling of the intimacy involved in immigrant populations. You know, many people would be struck with dread about that part of the American shadow, or the American shadow that's genocidal, or the American shadow that's enslavement. You know, and so that this book speaks a lot to the shadow and sort of the shadow of world violence, masculinized violence.
Well, we've been talking about it sort of theoretically, but I think a big part of the pleasure of reading this book is the language. There's a lot of really imagistic language, and your descriptions are really beautiful. So would you be willing to read a page or two from the book?
And thanks for saying that. That's, you know, all of us are dedicated in our lives to the quietness that has to do with the cadence of the words and the music. And so it's, they all take a long time to come to a certain place. So I'll read from the last story in the book. You know, that's one of the few stories that comes from the direct voice of the feminine. And so here's just the last 2 pages of the final story. The next day he was leaving and it was mid-morning. I stood in the tiny front room of the motel. Everyone was there to say their goodbyes and he was nervous. He was hesitant. He shifted back and forth, and I was also nervous. I prayed the whole time to myself, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong. I was ready to cry. He stood across from the room, and I stood and faced him. He hadn't been a part of my life for so long. He'd had no real contact, and it was too long since he'd heard the words "I love you" from my lips. I could see he was scared. He was afraid of many things. We'd never talked openly about his alcohol. It was a skirted issue. Then he said, "Well, I've got to be going now. I have a long road ahead of me. I have to get back east." He tried to make small talk, but the words fell away and he went silent. He didn't know what to say. I took 3 steps and walked across the room and put my arms out, and when he took a step toward me, I wrapped him in my arms. "I love you, Dad," I said. His hair was near my face. Our faces touched. He was real close. I had my hands on his back, and I drew him in and held him. I made sure it felt strong, not weak. I said, "I love you." I let go of all I'd held against him. "Jane, without you that day would never have occurred. I'm filled with love. If I gave my father something, I gave him his daughter back. Giving my heart to him as a daughter and looking at him as my father. I was on my way to tell you. I hope you know the life you gave him and me. The heart is a house of joy. Today I see you not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I reach and hold your hand. The mountains in winter are cathedrals, and even now, if we rise on the wings of the dawn and if we settle on the far side of the waters, we are not alone. If we touch the stars and walk on the winds of the firmament, even there you are with me. Do not be afraid. We are not cold and far apart. We are not abandoned. We are beloved."
That was my guest, Shan Ray, reading from his new short story collection, Blood, Fire, Vapor, Smoke. And he's also the author of a brand new collection of poems titled Sweet Clover, published by the fantastic Lost Horse Press out of Sandpoint, Idaho.
We love you, Lost Horse Press.
Yeah. And this book really reads to me like a collection of love poems, both to the beloved individual and to the landscape of the West and Montana in particular.
So from the beginning, I wanted to make sure as a writer, I wrote a book devoted to my wife, Jennifer. So I'd been brewing on this one for a few years, but then it finally came to me how I would like to write it. And it's basically learns from or received a touch from the work of Catherine Barnett and her book Game of Boxes. And that's what finally brought it together for me. This was maybe 3 years ago. So that's kind of the difference between the two books. One was, you know, 15 years in the making, and this one was more like 2 to 3 years. And I knew I wanted to also have it be a dedicated to the beloved body of the earth, you know, in the sense of where I was surrounded by that body in Montana, the wilderness and the plains. And so I'll read two different ones. And I wanted to include and have a special place for each daughter. So each daughter has a poem. Mm-hmm. So I'll start with one of those. It's called Hesperus. And it was based on coming home. And my daughter Natalia was about, she was very young at the time. And she was 4 years old. And she's sitting on the kitchen floor. And she had a kind of a, you know, copy, like piece of white copy paper that she'd folded in half and scribbled all over with, you know, crayons. There was a bunch of blue and yellow stars on it. And I just came in and sat down, put my arm around her, you know, and she says, "I made a card for you." And, you know, it's one of those great moments that you get many times in family. So basically this poem was handed to me. So here we go. Hesperus for Natalia. My 4-year-old daughter handed me a card, "To Daddy" written on the front, and inside a rough field of 5-pointed lights. And the words, "You're my favorite daddy in the stars." In this western night, we light the sky like Vega, Deneb, Altair, Albireo, the summer triangle, Cygnus the swan. Our hair tangled with wood and gravel, our eyes like vacant docks that beckon every boat. "Tell me about the word stars," I said. "Oh," she said, "sorry. I didn't know how to spell world." So one of those nice moments, right? And that kind of leads to this next one, that this definitely celebrates, this book celebrates love, marital love, the long marriage that I've felt just so thankful to be married to a great person. And I think many of us have felt that way. Many of us haven't too, and that's, you know, I think we all understand that. And inside the long love, it's very easy to go towards cynicism, nihilism. But in the context of psychology, especially system psychology, we're literally living in the golden age of love research right now, the last 50 years. And that research is proven to show that people that are in relationships that are failing tend to be, you know, five and six times more negative than those that are in relationships that are succeeding. And then when you look at the long-term relationships that are not only succeeding but thriving, there's an active friendship, sexuality, spirituality inside a coupleship. But having gone through a lot of these passages, you know, with my wife Jennifer, and you know, gotten a lot of mentoring, a lot of things that have had us eat our humiliation over and over, and then learn to, you know, live from a humbled place of gracefully seeing the other person's interpretation of events as more important than your own interpretation, and then seeing that element and them as beloved. That's what the book came out of. So it was easy to write in a sense, in that it had come through these long years of loving and growing and shaping and being shaped, you know. So this is a poem that's a little bit about that shaping, especially when you're called upon to notice that you might have some black crows on your shoulder that you got to listen to, you know. Three Forks, Montana, headwaters of the Missouri. On a cut bank over clear water, we admit to one another we've considered others. Late humbled, quiet as our wedding rings. Strengthen us to wrestle the angel, we implore. In August, a Montana river's best virtue is clarity. I have found myself to be impure. To walk upright, I must reset my bones and taste salt on my lips, soot beneath my tongue.
My guest has been Shan Ray, the author of two new books, a poetry collection, Sweet Clover, and a short story collection, Blood, Fire, Vapor, Smoke. Shan, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me.
Chris, thank you.